Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk listeners. You have joined in tonight to my sister, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It is a pleasure to come back to you once again in the first Monday of the new year of 2014. I hope that you had a wonderful, wonderful set of holidays, and I'm wishing God's blessings on each of you. Tonight, we are here to let you know that we still are here for our sisters of all ages, creeds, colors, educations, married women, single women, sisters, and just all the women that need us. We're here for the believers, the students, the housewives. Tonight we have a special show for you with a special guest. We have on the line with us tonight Miss Rebecca Williams, who is a facilitator for the TMF, Health Quality Institute. She's going to be sharing with us tonight about a diabetes self-management education program that she conducts. And also we have one of her caregivers with her on the line is Miss Galinda Jackson. So would you please go ahead and introduce yourself, Rebecca, and tell us a little about what you do.
Okay. My name is Rebecca, as you said, and I work with both the Dallas Area Agency on Aging as well as the Texas Health Quality Institute, TMS Foundation. They're the Quality Control Institute for the Medicare group in Texas. And what I do with them is facilitate workshops. I do workshops for the TMS Foundation on diabetes self-management, and then with the Dallas Area Agency on Aging as well, and then also some fall prevention classes with them.
Okay, good. Well, would you...
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk listeners. We're glad that you could join us. Welcome to our... My sister, my friend, our internet radio show for women of all ages. We are here to encourage and to lift you up. Tonight we have our co-host, Miss Beverly Beasley, our co-host, Miss Yvonne Gonzalez, our co-host, Miss Sonara Henderson, from Ashes to Beauty, Mary Project, and Granny's Place. Tonight we would like to give a shout out to our respective churches, Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church, to Richard Terry and the First Free Will Baptist Church. Yvonne, your church is?
I'm not affiliated with a church as of yet.
Okay. Ashes to Beauty, Ms. Henderson, your church is?
Hope of Glory Fellowship, Garland, Texas.
All right. Where the pastor is. The Reverend.
My husband, Dexter Paul Henderson.
All right. Tell Pastor I said, hey. Good evening, listeners. Tonight we have a special guest. Her name is Miss Nelia Hemmer, who is a single mother raising children and from an abused relationship. Miss Hemmer, would you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little about yourself?
Well, my name is Nelia Hemmer, and I was born and raised in San Antonio, Texas. I live here in Garland, Texas. My church is North Place Church in Saxe with Pastor Brian Jarrett. I have four children. Three are married, which is my two older sons and my daughter. I have nine grandchildren. I just had one on the 21st of June. And
right.
I have a son. I have a son at home who's 22. I'm supporting him and putting him through college. And I was married three times, and I had three abusive husbands. And I've raised really my children all by myself. The marriages might last at the most. The first one lasted 3 years. The second, a year, and the third, another year. They all left me while I had small children or while I was pregnant. And it was a difficult time in my life. You're young, and you get married by the church thinking that this is going to be a fantasy or a dream, you know, you dream wedding, and you think everything's going to go great, and then you find out that personalities can clash really bad, and people are raised one way. I'm Hispanic, and my first husband was German Anglo, so it was a very big task to be married to someone like him. He loved to drink, and we both were Catholics at the time, and he didn't want to go to church, and I did, and we were always back and forth fighting who's going to go and we're not going to go and stuff like that. We had a little boy, which was my oldest son, and that happened. Oh, you wouldn't believe. We were married 11 months. We were separated. And then by January the following year, we got back together. And before I knew it, I was pregnant with my son. And we lasted up until, I would say, April after my son was born the following year. I mean, well, 1 year. And then the following year in April, we ended up separating for good because he used to beat me up a lot, you know. He hit me when I was 7 months pregnant. Put me in the hospital, almost lost my life and the baby's life. But thanks to God, you know, he kept me strong and kept me going. And that was hard. And then we divorced, and then down the line, 2 years later, I met someone else, and I thought this was going to be good. You know, I knew him from high school and stuff like that, but it turned out to be really bad. And that's what they call rape from your own husband. You know, he raped me, and that didn't end, that ended up in a divorce. But I have a second son that was out of marriage, and I decided to keep this my baby, because even though the man that I was with, I loved him a lot, and he left me, I decided that I wanted to have my son, and I'm glad I did, because my oldest son was 6 and my second son was born. And, you know, that's a long time between children. And working jobs that are minimal, you know, you might make $500 a month, $800 a month, you know, and trying to make it, ends meet and no child support, but you just keep on going. And with the help of friends, more friends than anything, I've made it. And then my third marriage where we ended up getting married only because I got pregnant. And I had my daughter, and we lasted, you know, we were doing pretty good. And within the time that I came home from having my daughter, my husband wanted another child. And I was sick, and this is, you know, at the age of 35, I already had a daughter, had two other children, and this man wants more kids. And 7 months after her, I ended up getting pregnant with my last baby. And then he leaves me for a woman 20 years older because she had money. And before he left me, he would sexually abuse me, and he wanted me to lose the baby, my last son that I was pregnant with. And he tried everything possible, calling me names that I would never make it in life, that I was ugly and I was fat and nobody was going to want somebody with so much baggage. And made me feel really low. But I got the nerve, and I don't know if I should say this, but, you know, I honestly told him that if he packed up his stuff and threw it out, and I was pregnant, 5 months pregnant with my son, and I just threw everything in the living room and said, take your stuff and leave. And he wasn't going to. He wanted to come in. He wanted to beat me. And I said, no. I said, you better take up your stuff, get out, leave my key, or I'm going to shoot you with the sun don't shine. And he didn't believe me, so I had my daddy's 32. I wasn't going to do it, but that was the only way to get him out of the house. And because I didn't even have any bullets in the gun. So I thank God that it scared him enough, and he threw that key at me and took his stuff, and I locked the doors, and he left. And it was a bad pregnancy. I almost died. I ended up developing, when I had my son, I had him 5 weeks early. I was about have a massive heart attack and pulmonary failure, and they had to give me an emergency C-section with him. And a week after he was born, I was back into the hospital again, and they had told me that I had autoimmune hemolytic anemia, that my red blood cells were dying, my white blood cells were taking over, and that if they couldn't do anything in a hurry, I was going to develop leukemia and I would pass away. And that at that point, I prayed. I just ended up praying, and I asked God to please send me an angel, you know, to tell me that I'm going to make it, because there was no one to take care of all four of my children. My parents were old, and they were doing everything they could, but I needed to get strong, so I prayed. And the next morning I woke up, and I looked outside, and it was about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and I saw this cloud by the window, and it looked like angels, you know, like an angel wing. And then I fell back asleep, and about 7:30, 8 o'clock, somebody woke me up, and there were these two ladies there, and I looked at her, and I said, she goes, "We came to pray for you," and I said, "Thank you." And she goes, "My name is Josie, and this is Mary. We're Mary and Joseph, and we're from Our Lady of the Angels Church, and we came to pray for you." And I just looked at them, and I said, "Oh, my God." I was praying to God that he would get me through this and that I would make it so I could support my children and take care of them, because all they have is me, and for him to send me an angel, and he sent me two. And they looked at me and she goes, "No, they send you many. Look outside your window and all the clouds. You could see the clouds look like wing to wing to wing." And it was a beautiful thing, and it gave me strength. You know, after they prayed and more people came over and prayed over me, I got better and stronger and continued to go to back to work. And I started working with the government, and I've been working with the government ever since. And it's not easy for anybody to be a single parent. It isn't. You go through a lot of trials and tribulations, and just like people, I've told many people, just like you make vows from a marriage, you know, to have and to hold, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, and in sorrow and happiness, whatever, everything you say, it's the same thing when you're single, but you do it to God. You tell God, "This is what I'm going to do." And believe me, I went through some tough times, and I hated myself, and I hated people, and I was angry, and I blamed everybody else, and I blamed myself for everything that went wrong. But one day, it just like, it took me to be 40 to, it slapped me in the face and finally tell me, "You know what? I got to realize that I've got to take control in what I can do for my kids and myself." I got help from people, and, you know, I got food stamps for a while. And then after that, I got off of food stamps because I didn't need it. I wanted to work. I wanted to support my kids, regardless of how much money I was making. And through thick and thin, I made it through. Until this today, I'm still supporting my son and trying to help. Even my son who has 5 children and barely making it, I'll do anything to help my kids. But I also have to think about myself and, you know, think of me now. I need to let myself not be so attached to my kids and give them everything I got.
Gaia, I wanted to ask you a question. You were talking about your husband. It sounds like there was something similar, a similar thread about the three. What attracted you to those men?
I felt that when I was a child, I used to be hit a lot, you know, spanked and everything for any little thing. And I had one day a car, I was 12, and this car with a real dark man was opened up the door and wanted me to get in. And I was with a bag of groceries just right across the street, and I was trying to yell from my mother and my father, and nobody would come out. And then finally my brother yelled at me, and that car took off, and I told him what was going on, and I got spanked and slapped and everything for looking at him, and that I shouldn't have done this. And then not only that, at home I was, you know, I was not abused, but sexually touched by a family member. As a matter of fact, two family members. One tried to show himself off to me, and the other was rubbed himself against me. So I, in my head, I figured that, you know, because these they drank a lot, I figured that I could help these people that I married. And I ended up falling in the category that I kind of, from what I was raised, I figured that it was okay to be in it because that's what I was in and that's what I thought it was supposed to be like. Do you understand that?
So you thought his hitting on you was a form of love? Was he nice to you when you first met him? Was he nice?
Oh, he was wonderful. It was like he would move the moon for me, or you know, give me the stars from the sky. But after that,
hello, we're here.
After that, it was like 6 months into the marriage, it changed. And he started drinking too much and being real aggressive. And even with the baby, he was aggressive with the child, so with our son. And I couldn't handle it. I wasn't going to let him hurt our son because he wasn't getting his way and what he wanted.
What about the second husband?
Second husband, we didn't have children, but we did get married. And he was really good to my son. But the only thing what I didn't like is that he came home one day at 11 o'clock at night, he was drunk, and he wanted, he was trying to tear off my clothes, and he was trying to wake up my son so he could see me that he was doing it, and I kept on hitting him to tell him to stop it, and he left my son alone, but he attacked me, and I ended up leaving him right off the bat. The next day, I packed up everything, and I left. I just didn't want my son to go through anything, but my second son, his father was good. He just ended up getting out of service, and he left, and he didn't want me to have the baby. He wanted me to have an abortion, but I never did. I kept it. And but he's been a very good father. He took care of his son, you know, with as minimal amount that he could. He put his life first before he put his son. So I think now he's a minister, so he's asked for forgiveness and he's found his way. So I hope that everything that he's ever wanted is what he needs, where he needs to be. And but we never got married. And for the third, we had the last two children together. And again, another great person, best friend to my brother, and he turned out being the worst person ever. And I don't wish that on anybody, and that was my fault. It was something that I didn't see because I was, when you're young, you just think that when the man tells you he loves you, you just like sink, and you know, oh, he loves me, and you get all tickled to death, and you know, oh, this is great, I love him too, we get along, we're doing fine, and we don't see the full picture.
It's not really true.
No. You don't see the full picture. You don't see everything about him, you know, and you don't know. They don't tell you about what they did in high school, whatever. I didn't find out until after we were 2 years married that he had sex with so many people and ended up getting gonorrhea, and I was over here like, oh, my God, I never had sex until me and him married. I was a virgin up to 21, so, you know, it was very, very hard for me to understand. And then I was also not stupid. There's a word for it.
Naive.
Vulnerable.
Naive.
There you go. Thank you. I was very, very naive. And I honestly believe I was naive all the way up to my last husband. And something snapped. And talking to friends. And some friends could give you good advice, and others can give you real bad advice. And I found that the more Christian friends I had, the more good advice I would get from them, they guided me. And then I had to get away from the Catholic Church only because it, to me, became repetitious. And it's, you memorize everything. But going to a Christian church, I started learning about the Bible. And I'm still learning.
Did you marry your first husband to get away from home, or did you just marry him because you thought you were in love with him and you thought he was in love with you?
A little of both. One, to get away from home because coming from the family I came from, the girls were never allowed to go anywhere unless you were triple date, you know. You had to be home by 11 o'clock, even though a dance didn't finish until 12 or 1. It was on Hispanic culture, you know. And if we were home at a certain, I mean, if you just wanted to, you want to get away because you want to have a life of your own. I wanted to move out. I didn't want to get married. I really wanted to move out and have my own apartment. But I was never, my parents told me I would never be allowed to leave the house until I got married. So the opportunity came. I met him in college in Kansas City, and we got engaged, and the following year we got married.
I have a question for you, Ms. Hemmer. Did you ever seek any professional care or any counseling, or you and your spouses, or did you ever go see anybody, the preacher or your clergyman or anything like that?
With the first one, yes, we did. We went to our church. But the priests are different in how they counsel. And the counseling is, you know, we need you all to pray. You know, we need you to, you know, confess your sins. And we'll give you all of this for you to pray, Hail Marys and Our Fathers and stuff like that. You're supposed to be submissive to your husband, and you're following his ways. And at that point, at that time, it had obey in the, you had to obey your husband. And I was over here like, no way. I just couldn't see it. I just couldn't see being that way. And because I would obey my mother and my father, but I wasn't going to obey my husband. I thought that we were in it together. We were supposed to make decisions together. And, you know, at any point in time, everything had to be a mutual agreement. And the counseling was that I had to do whatever my husband said. And I just couldn't. I mean, no matter how much we tried, I would bite my tongue and go ahead and do as I was told. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for my husband. He wanted more. He made out with my best friend in front of me. So, you know, that's not part of a marriage. And he was trying to go out on me while I was at home pregnant. That's not part of marriage. A man should be with his wife, take care of his wife, take care of each other.
That is true. Great. Ladies, do we have any questions for her? Sister Henderson, do you have a question? Or Yvonne? Hello? Yvonne?
Hello, can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Oh, okay.
Okay.
Do either of you have any questions?
Yeah, I wanted to first just say thank you to Nelia for sharing her story and just the details of her story with us tonight. I'm sure it must have been very difficult. And I know that, you know, she feels free from all of this, which is great. But, you know, she shared some really in-depth and personal things. And it also just showed me just how strong, you know, we are as women, and sometimes how we can endure some of the harshest circumstances, and how she kept her, you know, her children before her. So, Nelly, I wanted to just say thank you for being so open and, you know, allowing us to peek into your past and, you know, sharing your past. Hopefully, you know, there's young women out here listening to this. I also wanted just to comment and say that, This is a very, you know, very common, unfortunately, particularly amongst younger women. You know, there's a lot of statistics out there to support that we have a lot of young, you know, young women in relationships that are abusive, and for various reasons. I think Beverly asked a good question when she asked, you know, did Nelia believe that these men loved her, or, like, what was it that attracted her, you know, to them? And she shared very honestly that part of it was because of her past and what she knew love to be. And I think that's so true for us as women, and particularly as a single mom, when we're out there, you know, we have these children, we have to take care of them, and we're looking for love, it can be very difficult sometimes to decipher, you know, who's a, you know, who's a good man and who's not a good man. So I just wanted to talk about that a little bit and just ask Nelia, now that she's older and wiser, looking back, would there have been any different decisions that she had made with any of her partners?
Tell you the truth, I think I would have probably been single, still single. It's just that the point is that when I was young, I wanted to be a pediatrician, but because out of 8 children, I was second to the last child, I was always told I wasn't smart enough and that I would never make it. So I kind of pushed myself just to start working and working because I believed it. I believed that I wasn't smart enough. And that's what happens to a lot of people. A lot of young women come from poor families. And, you know, you start thinking, I can't, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it. I can't pay for college. But I kind of paid for myself to go to Kansas City, Missouri and go to school there for Atlantic Airlines schools, and then started going little by little to San Antonio College in San Antonio and take a couple of classes when I could. But it was hard because I was raising 2 small children and going to school until 10 o'clock at night. By the time you pick them up and take them home, it's 11 o'clock at night. Then you have to get up at 5:30 in the morning, go to work 8 hours, take them back to a babysitter, go back to school. It becomes tedious and you get tired. And sometimes you get frustrated and when you say, okay, I want to go out and have fun. And then you go out to a club and you go out there and you want to forget stuff. So you have 2 or 3 or 4 drinks and then before you know it, you say, oh, my God, I have to pick up my kids and I'm a little buzzed, you know. And you have to start thinking what's more important. And to me, it was my kids' life and my life. If without me, they wouldn't have anybody. So I had to put them always before me no matter what because they were young. And fun was there. I had it when I could. And I took them wherever I could afford. But I will tell you that if it came, as old as I am now, I don't ever want to get married again. I don't want nobody in my life because I'm too old. I feel like I'm too old and I'll never find that person again. I'm hard to get along with. I'm really stuck to myself. So it would have to be somebody that just like to be at home once in a while, be outside, you know, cooking or whatever. But he had to be a person that was educated, would know a lot about the world. Not so much books, but about the world itself and about people on the outside. Because books can teach you one thing, but living it is different. The experience you get in anything is living it. And when you live it, that experience comes with you. So when you go to school and learn, then you learn what the jobs want you to have. But when you can have your living and your learning and your common sense all together, you have everything. And you don't need that. I don't see that I need the degree to get myself way up there. It's just the point that in order to be up there without a degree, you have to fight. And it's hard. You have to fight in order to go up the ladder in industries or wherever you work. And that paper, that bachelor's degree or master's degree or whatever, helps you to get in faster in certain jobs. But if you're going into a job that is nursing, but your background is really more playing a piano and then nursing, well, you kind of wonder. You know, so like you asked, I mean, it would be very hard for me to say I could find someone that I could really want in my life. Right now, I'm finally at peace with myself and peace with my life, that the only important person first is God and then my children and myself. And that's the way I want to go until God changes it for me.
That's wonderful. It is so great to hear. You sound like a woman, a wise woman who has learned how to live life without all the drama, without all the forsakenness, and I applaud you for going ahead and just going ahead and doing what you have done with your life and your children. I'm really, really excited right now for you about your life, and I don't even know you, because what you're saying to me is what women can do. There are a lot of women out here that don't understand that what you're doing, they can do. All they have to do is make up their mind to go ahead and put that foot forward and do what they can for themselves and their children and make up their mind that they don't need a man to validate them. I understand
right.
that they want to have a man, but it's not always necessary. You know, and there are a lot of young ladies out here think that they just have to have a man in their life, that they can't do anything without one making them feel like they're worthy. You're worthy all along. You're worthy of yourself. If you can't depend on yourself, you surely can't depend on another being. You
right.
become codependent. And I was going to ask you, did you ever feel like that you were codependent on any of these men? Did they make you, or were they just, you know, something that you needed at the time, that you thought you needed?
I thought I needed them, because when I had them, I ended up being the man in the house, and I am the one that wore the pants. So I made all the decisions, and I got tired of it. I had three of them, and with all three of them, it seemed like they didn't know how to make a decision on anything, and the only decision they could make is to go out drinking with the guys, go partying, and be with other women, but they didn't know how to be a man, a father, a husband. They didn't know that meaning behind it. And
okay.
they took me, you know, I'm talking that they took advantage of my kindness and my, that I loved them and I would do everything for them, because that's the kind of woman I am, the person I am with everybody. I will take care of you. I will love you. I will bring things for you. I will do anything I can within my means to help you. And
sometimes, Nelia, that's a bad thing. When a woman does too much, because men become complacent and they don't mind sitting back and letting the woman work herself to death or do whatever she's doing to them. Sometimes being strong women can be dangerous, because we can take away that man's power from him. If he's a very strong man. And if you're too strong and he's not so strong, a lot of times we can usurp his position, and not intending to, but he's not as strong as we are. And so if you have one that's a little bit weak, you know, we'll wind up and he'll just gladly slide onto the side and let you run everything and let you take care of him, because it's easier for him to do that.
Oh, you're right.
We have to be careful. Of the men that we allow into our lives. And a young lady on the show last week, and my problem with women sometimes is that we go out choosing the men that we should have instead of allowing them to choose us. You know, and sometimes we're going out picking the husbands. We always pick the wrong ones, because we look at the ones that we think are fun and cute, and they're going to make us laugh, and they're going to make us feel good and everything, but they may not have had a father in their life to train them how to be a husband and train them how to be a man. So the only thing they know how to do is be grown little boys. So we make a lot of mistakes sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
So
I agree with you.
Sonara?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead with your question.
Okay. Well, now, yeah, I, too, like Yvonne, would like to thank you for letting us into your life. And I think I'm just very impressed with the roadmap as well as with the success of all the berries that you encountered, when you could have very easily said, no, throw your hands up, throw in the towel, give it all up, but you continue to persevere, and now you're in the winning lane, and you are successful. But not only that, I hear a woman that is healed, whole, and complete. And the way that I know that, because you took us so deep, so in-depth into your past, and I don't hear shamefulness. And that is a good thing. So I do applaud you for allowing God to come in to heal you and to make you whole and to give you beauty for your ashes. So that's what I'm hearing, and that's what I'm on this end celebrating. And I applaud you once again. And my question would be, going through all these trials and tribulations with the different men, did you ever call the police? Did you ever press charges? Did it ever warrant you to have to get a protective order? Or, I mean, how did you actually deal with getting rid of them other than them leaving or you putting the gun?
Mostly it was just because I was determined, and I was, when I get angry, and that's why I always tell them, don't ever get me to the point where I'm very I get very angry.
Okay.
My husband, I will tell you, my first husband, the last fight that we had, he was throwing suitcases at my back and everything. So he was coming at me, so I hit him with an iron skillet and threw him to a picture window. And without even thinking, because I was so angry, I jumped on him and had a knife in my hand, and I swear I was going to cut his, you know. And my neighbors came and had to throw cold ice water on me and carry me off of him because they said I looked like an Indian that just jumped on him, was ready to scalp him. And I was like, I couldn't believe myself that I did that because I was angry. So with my last husband, when I showed him the gun, then he knew I meant business, and he just stayed away. He just stayed away, and I said, you're not going to hurt my kids. You're not going to hurt him in any kind of way. And I'm glad I did stay away from him because I found out his father was molesting his own grandchildren from his daughter and had molested his 12-year-old stepdaughter.
Oh, my goodness.
So I didn't want my kids around them.
Exactly.
No, no.
Exactly.
So I protected my children, and I'm glad. I am very glad that my first husband and my last husband never bothered with their kids. I'm hurt. They were hurt. And they had something missing in their life because they wanted their dad. But it wasn't until they were older they went ahead and looked for their father to find out what he was like. And I had their number, so I had my daughter call her father, and she said, never mind, I can't talk to him. He says I'm like you, and he doesn't ever want to talk to me again. He hung up on me. And she goes, I want nothing to do with my dad. And her brother doesn't want nothing to do with his father either. And my oldest found out that his father was a cheat and he was never going to want him again. The only one that has a good father is my second son. His father does everything possible that he can to stay in contact.
I have a question. It may be personal. You don't have to answer this. But how was your father? What kind of father was he?
Always working. When he was young, he was a masonry contractor, would leave 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work. By the time he'd come home, be 5 o'clock, he would be hot. He would be angry, and he'd be cussing, and he was rough with my mother, and he wouldn't hit her, but he was just rough, and the way he would talk with her. And
just verbally.
Yes, and it was just something I didn't like. So I wasn't around my family. I was with them until the age of 5, and my mother gave me away to her mother when I was 5 until the age of 12. And living with my grandmother was different because we had nothing. I mean, we were just living in a house, you know, the food and no air conditioning or anything, no TV, no phone. All we had was the radio. And
each other. You didn't have your grandmother didn't have a husband.
No, and my grandfather had died way before then. And I mean, it was the neatest thing because it was just so simple. Life was just so simple. We would walk to the grocery store, which was 10 blocks away and carry groceries back, me and my grandmother. And, you know, I got used to that. And then when she died, I was 12 when she died of cancer, stomach cancer. It was hard to move back into a house with five brothers and two sisters. Five brothers in one room, two sisters in the second room, and mom and dad in front. And then I had brothers that would abuse me. They would hit me. They would kick me. And, you know, I wasn't used to it. So I kind of figured that if my brothers could kick me and push me around, and then my parents moved the four older brothers to the ranch where my aunt was taking care of them, it was like we were all separated, you know, and then we were close, and then we were separated again. And they were just, I was the middle girl, so they would beat up on me a lot, you know. So I was used to being abused, you know, as a child, so I figured that that's what it's all about when you find a man that can give you the world, but then, you know, after he's got you and he's got that hold on you and
he's free to do anything
he wants, you know. Mm-hmm. And we let them, you know, because we're young or naive or vulnerable, or better yet, you just want somebody to love you. And you.
Well, then the other thing is sometimes you do it because you don't have any feel that you don't have any place else to go. So at least here I've got a roof, I've got my own place, and, you know, he may be a little mean sometimes, and but it keeps you from going back home to your parents' house. So you'll put up with some things that you wouldn't want to put up with, but that's the place that you're at. So rather than go back to mom's house, you put up with some of the things just so that you don't have to go back.
Right.
You know, yeah. I've known you for a long time. We've worked together for many years, and I've seen her change tremendously, particularly in the last few years. I've seen her mature and become much wiser, and I listened when she joined church and the way she gave her life to Christ, and I agree with Sonara and Yvonne and Shonda. I applaud you as well, Nelia, because I've seen you change. I've seen you grow from the woman that you were when you walked into OSHA's door to the woman you are today. And there has been a tremendous change. You're much calmer, and you've got a lot more love and joy in your heart. So I'm very grateful to the Lord for what he's done in your life. And to see you come out the way you are now, even when you have trials and tribulations, you respond to them much differently, and you seek to give everyone advice and pray. And so I'm very proud that God has called you to be his own and that you've accepted the call. And you've shown me a great deal of difference from the woman that you started out with. We both changed, but I've seen a lot of change in you, and I'm very, very proud.
Yes, thank you. Great. We have another caller that has joined us. Caller, would you like to ask a question or make a comment? Hello? Miss Gwen.
Oh, yes. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Do you have a comment or a question for Miss Nyla?
At the time, I really don't have a question. I was just so outdone with her testimony of her life, and I'm like, wow, you know, sometimes you might think you have been through something, and you hear someone else's story, and you realize, wow, I mean, you are a very strong woman. I have to give you that. And I'm just overwhelmed right now because to hear all that, that is just, wow. That's a wow testimony.
Yes, we never know what someone else is going through.
You haven't heard it all.
No. No,
we don't know. We don't know. We can just look at that person and we think that we might know what they're going through, but until we hear their story or their testimony, we don't know. And that's the reason why my sister, my friend, has been developed so that we can encourage our sister and lift her up and let her know when she's a woman of wisdom now, but at one time, she probably didn't know that she could be an overcomer. But we want to let the ladies that are listening know that you can be an overcomer. You can do anything that you put your mind to. And first of all, if you give it to God and let him handle it, That's your source. For those that are not spiritually led, you have to use your own self, make your own decisions. You make conscious decisions every day. You have to make the decision not to want to be in these kind of situations, that let no man abuse you, that no man take advantage of you, because you don't have to, because you don't need a man to make you. That's the number one. And my thing is, and I'm going to say what carries me. First, I love the Lord. Then I love LaShondra. I love LaShondra.
She's not joking.
Okay.
I'm not at all.
I love my husband dearly, but when it comes to being abused, I'm going to be like Nyla. I'm going to be the abused, okay? In my day, I would be just like her. Don't push me.
That's
because
right.
I love me. And I love my children. And if you push me or you push my children, it's over for you. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
And that was just the real
and
me.
And I feel that way.
Okay. I've calmed down a whole lot. I've learned a whole lot. And I've tried to implement the things that I've been taught. But I think that if you do push me up against a wall, I'm coming out fighting. I'm just gonna have to do it because I love LaShondra, and that's just the truth.
That's too much.
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
I think one of the things that we have to do on this show, and with women like Nellie, another one, those other young women that came on last week, is to help women understand what love really is. And a lot of times when we come out of abusive homes, we come out of homes where there is no love, we come out of homes where parents are here and there, and if they're there at all. And a lot of times women have the wrong idea of what love really is. And so I think one of the things we can do in this show is to help women, young women as well as middle-aged women, and perhaps some older women, understand what love really is. It's not a letting a man take advantage of you and beat you or sexually abuse you, and then the next minute he's all over you talking about, baby, I didn't mean it, and, you know, I'm sorry that I love you. Well, you know, you never would have hit me if you loved me. You never would have did anything to cause me any hurt or pain if you loved me. You know, so I think we need to teach women, help them understand what love really is and what a man will do if he really loves you.
Back on you, Miss Beverly, and just to say that there are many different forms of abuse.
Yes.
That, you know, you have physical, you have mental. Even when they're not walking in their role, that's abuse because that's an extra burden on you. It's
yes, that's right.
You're the helpmate, not the head.
Yeah. And that does put a burden on a woman when a man makes her the head when he's doing, like you said, what you said.
Okay.
It puts an additional burden on that woman because now it's like Nellie was talking about how the men were in her life. She not only had to raise her children, take care of her house, but she also had to take care of him. That's an additional responsibility when he's supposed to be taking care of you.
Correct.
And help you with the house. So it makes it more stressful for women.
And you know, with me, and I see it every day with me working in housing, you know, they just think it's the cutest thing because he can pay her little $35 a month cell phone bill or get her nails filled or get her hair braided. No, it's more to life than that.
Yeah.
You said something
right there. So, as you said, there are many different forms of love, but when you're talking about relationship or marriage-wise, it has to go more in depth than above the surface. It has to go below the surface. So this when you need a mate that's going to stick with you through thick and thin, up and down, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right.
Because you have all those dates and all those times.
That's right.
Very good. Well, ladies, we are getting ready to wind the show down. We have about 12 minutes left. I would like to go ahead and go with the announcements for tonight. Beverly, would you go ahead and invite the children of the community of Duckerville to come to the reading program?
All right. Grange Place, along with First Free Will Baptist Church and Mount Hebron Baptist Church, and what else are we partnering with? Beacon House. We started a mentoring program, and off of that mentoring program, we've started a summer reading club for the kids of all ages. It's free for all children. It's on Saturday from 10 to 12 at First Free Will Baptist Church in Duncanville at 1415 West Wheatland Road in Duncanville. It's 10 to 12 on Saturdays. It'll be from June 23rd, this past Saturday, to August 4th. Our next project that we're looking at doing is attending the Marriage Back to School project in August. We'll be putting an exhibit there for Granny's Face Reading Project and also for the Marriage Project. We're also working with the Boys and Girls Club of Oak Cliff, and we're putting together the Finishing Four, which is sponsored by Muck Media. Miguel Gonzalez is the writer and the producer of that book. He, along with Yvonne Gonzalez, and we're working with the Boys and Girls Club for in July, hopefully, for Miguel to host a seminar for the 9th and 10th graders and college-bound students at the Boys and Girls Club of Oak Cliff. It's 2907 Linfield. So all kids in 9th and 10th grades are going to college or are invited to that seminar. And Mr. Miguel will sit there and talk to them, and it's off of his book, Finishing Four. So we'll be sending out more publicity about that, and hopefully we'll be able to do a ad in the Dallas Morning News to publicize the Finishing Four seminar for the Boys and Girls Club in Oak Cliff. And that's our announcements for this time.
All right. Yvonne, did you have any announcements on Mary's project?
I just wanted to encourage everyone to please, if you're listening and you have a Facebook page, please look up the Mary's Project on Facebook and just like the page and just start following us. I've really created the page to give an opportunity for younger women just to get on there, ask their questions, post their comments, and also post any of their successes that they're having as they're raising their children. So please take an opportunity to check that out. And also, just to plug my company, Muckraker Media, we're going for a small business grant. So if anyone with a Facebook page listening could go to missionsmallbusiness.com and vote for us, Muckraker Media in Dallas. We have a goal of 250 votes by Friday, and right now we're about 130. So please take a moment to just go and vote for us. And, you know, we're hoping that we'll be able to get this grant from Chase to help our business grow so we can continue to do the good things in the community that we love to do.
Yes. Okay. Well, would you go ahead and give that website again so that we'll know where to go and vote, please?
Okay. It's www.missionsmallbusiness, all one word, I guess, .com. And that's
Mission
www.
Small Business? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Missionsmallbusiness.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much. So now, Ms. Henderson, can we go ahead and get your announcement for tonight?
Only announcement that I have, well, you know, God is doing some wonderful things. I know you wanted me to announce about the 2-in-1 that's coming up for us in August, on August 11th. Ashes of Beauty will be celebrating 4 years along with my husband and I celebrating our church's first year church anniversary and pastor wife anniversary. So if anyone is interested in coming, the tickets are 0 to 12 years of age is free, 13 to 19 years of age is $10, and anyone 20 years of age and up is $25. So it will be held here at the Gale Fields Recreation Center here in Garland. Anyone needing to purchase a ticket or would like to make a donation, please feel free to contact me at area code 214-533-1534. And God has opened the door for Ashes of Beauty Ministries, the new U Resource Center, to go into an apartment complex here in the Garland area, and I will keep you guys updated as all that unfolds.
All right. Bye. Thank you so much. Do we have any other announcements tonight?
Did you mention about our going where we've talked to another, Granny's Place has talked to another organization that Ms. Nari Henderson introduced us to, and Granny's Place will be going over to Fort Worth to create some reading programs over there. So if we have any kids or parents that are interested in bringing their kids to reading program. Look forward to Granny Space coming to Fort Worth, where Miss LaShonda Henderson is the director of the Shane Hart Mentoring Program.
Oh, did I marry Pastor? Because my name is Lewis.
Well, I'm sorry. But you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. You know it. One is LaShonda Henderson, the director of the Shane Hart Mentoring Program. And Ms. Tamara Henderson. I got it, didn't I?
LaShonda Lewis, okay? I want you to clarify that, okay? I am the
LaShonda Lewis.
Shane Hart Mentoring Program
Director. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and we will be opening up a reading program in the Fort Worth area. We are getting the particulars together right now, and
yes,
we have met a wonderful person who is going to allow us to come into the apartments and set up the reading program for the team.
What is her name, Jane? Janie Stevenson?
Yes. Janice Stevenson
with Adorn Resource Center. We had a wonderful meeting with her on Saturday, I'm telling
you.
Yes, it was so enlightening. She's such a beautiful person, and I've only met her one time, and I just love her spirit. We're going to be doing an outreach with her. We get donations from Bed Bath & Beyond, and we're going to go in the apartments and just bless the tenants there with some items, and hopefully God will just meet us there, and we'll have a great time, and in the Lord also. So God is doing great things among us, ladies.
Yes.
Again, I want to thank Ms. Nelia Hemmer for joining us tonight and sharing with us her testimony of how she has lived in these abusive relationships and how God delivered her, because it was nobody but Him.
We have to
give Him the glory and the honor and the praise, and we're so happy that you do know that you do know that God is able. He's a deliverer, He's a healer, and He is with you every day, every moment. And He will do whatever you need Him to do, as long as you reverence Him and honor Him and give Him the glory for the things that happen in your life. There's a lot of us that don't know that, but I want to make that plain to the ladies, young ladies, the non-believers, and also the believers. God is able.
Amen.
He is a friend. He will do what He said He would do in His word. That is not a question.
Yes.
That's an answer. So Sister Sonara Henderson will be taking us out in prayer. We have 3 minutes to go. Pray, my sister.
All right. Father God, we just thank You and we just praise You. We thank You for this time of fellowship and friendship on My Sister, My Friend. God, we just thank You for the sweet aroma that's in the air right now, God. I just thank You for calming the sea and the air for someone, some sister, some friend, someone that's just maybe listening, have the phone on mute, listening on the phone or by way of internet. We thank You for coming into our midst on tonight. We thank You for this awesome woman of God, this jewel of a woman. We thank You for the wisdom in which You have given her. We thank You for giving her the strength to stand in Holy Spirit boldness and to share her testimony of the goodness of God. You said to let our light so shine that men may see our good works but glorify our Father which is in heaven. And this is what we're experiencing on tonight. We can't see her light, but we definitely can feel Your love oozing out of Miss Nelia, oh God. And we just want to thank You for saving her for such a time as this to be able to share with each and every one of us that's on this Blog Talk Radio show. We thank You for every woman that is present. We thank You for the host and the co-host and the invitation of women that You have helped to come along and stand up this ministry. We thank You for Mary Project. We thank You for Granny's Place. We thank You for Shane Hart Mentoring. We thank You for Ashes to Beauty. We thank You for Nelia. We thank You for any other ministry that was able to come on the line, and we thank You for every woman all over the world and internationally that are listening by faith. by faith, oh God, because we believe something is being said and done every Monday evening to give us the breakthrough, to help us to go just a little further, to help us to become the overcomer for Jesus. You've already overcome the world, so we thank you for the victory. We thank you that we're lucky that we're no longer victims, but we're victorious through you, Christ Jesus, that loves us. So we thank you on today. We thank you for salvation, keeping us, and providing for us. And we just thank you for keep on making a way out of no way. Most of the time, God, we don't know how, but we thank you today that we know who. So we ask that you bless each and every one of us. Bless us at the appointed time and at the appointed of our needs, God. Bless us and keep us as only you can do. In Jesus' name, till we conversate again, thank God.
And
amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Sister Henderson, for that fervent prayer. God is in the...